嘅嘉宾咧，就亦都啱到咗，时间啱啱好。咁我哋第五项议程咧，就系、应各位委员上次会议嘅要求咧，就今次咧，我哋特登就请环保处嘅同事咧，同我哋做有关维港嘅水质嘅一个特别嘅报告。咁我哋今日咧就好欢迎咧环保处咧有三位同事咧，就特登前嚟同我哋做呢个报告。除咗环保处，仲有渠务处啦。咁我哋而家就欢迎咧 Dr. Malcolm Brom is the Assistant Director of the Environmental Protection Department, specifically with responsibility for water policy in the EPD.And also Mr. Francis Wong, he's a senior EPD officer. And also Mr. W.T. Chow, he's the chief engineer for land drainage in the DSD of Kemochi. So may I now invite Dr. Brom to present his report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We provided a paper on the subject of water quality improvement in Victoria Harbour, which I understand members were interested in, and I take the paper as being read, but I'd like to illustrate some of the points made with a presentation, if I may. So basically what I'd like to take members through is the main actions that are being undertaken to protect the water quality of Victoria Harbour.Just to start off to provide a visual impact of the area that we're talking about, officially the harbour limits are basically from the two extreme ends of Hong Kong Island, and that is where the focus of our main activities are when we talk about Victoria Harbour water quality protection. Now, about two years ago, or just over 2 years ago, I reported to this committee on the progress of the scheme for the harbour area for the treatment of sewage going into the harbour. I think I'd like to spend a bit of time trying to update members on that scheme. As this slide indicates, before we started to implement the harbour area treatment scheme, there were about 1.7 million tonnes of almost untreated sewage being discharged into the harbour every day, and that produced some fairly serious pollution effects. And those are probably best represented by these slides here, which show how at different points in the harbour the levels of bacterial pollution were steadily increasing over a number of years. Well, to deal with that, the government devised the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme, and in 2001 it commissioned the first stage of that scheme. The cost was about $8.1 billion. And it's treating approximately 1.4 million cubic metres of sewage each day, which is about 75% of the total which is generated around the harbour area. And as a result of that, it's removing about 600 tonnes of sludge, or stopping it from entering the harbour. The treatment works at Stonecutters Island, which is shown in the top right-hand corner of this slide, has proven to be a very efficient and effective treatment works. It provides chemically enhanced primary treatment, but the performance has been particularly good. This slide shows that the BOD removal rate, which is the bars, is up around, I can read it, around 70%, 70 to 80%. And there is an even higher removal rate for suspended solids. And the upper line on this graph shows the quality of the incoming sewage effluent, and the lower line in each case shows the quality of the effluent that is being discharged. So there's a big improvement, a big removal of pollution by the treatment works. And just in terms of visual perception, what people can actually see, previously before HAT stage one, you could actually see plumes of sewage in the harbour, as indicated in the left-hand photograph in this picture near Kwuntong, but after HAT stage one was commissioned, those plumes have been removed because all the pollution and the sewage has been intercepted and removed for treatment at Stonecutters Island. Just to expand upon some of the data which are provided in the paper, we provided in the paper an overall picture of the water quality improvements. The next few slides give some more detail about those. This slide shows how the dissolved oxygen level has improved since Stage 1 was commissioned. Overall, it averages about a 10% improvement, but at the eastern end, in fact, the improvement has been even greater. It's up to a 20% increase in dissolved oxygen. The little blue boxes on this slide are basically indicate the post-HATS situation. The red boxes indicate the pre-HATS situation. So if you can see, by looking at the boxes on the eastern end that the numbers in the blue boxes are higher than those in the red boxes, which means that the water quality is improving as far as dissolved oxygen is concerned. And another major pollutant is ammonia. In the case of ammonia, what we want to see is the level going down, and on average it's declined by about 25% overall. And again, the biggest declines have been in the eastern end of the harbour and towards the central harbour area, where the pollutants have declined by 50% or so. And finally, out of these slides, the picture with regards to the bacterial pollution. Again, it's the same pattern, very, very big changes at the eastern end of the harbour, which also progress into the central area, showing significant improvements. But one point to make about the bacterial levels is that in the western area, around Tsing-Yi Island and the Ma-Wan Channel, the bacterial levels have actually increased quite substantially. And that is a direct result of the discharge of the Stage 1 effluent. And it has a bearing on the proposals for what we plan to do next. Okay, moving on to the next step, what we hope to do in the next stage is to build what we term Stage 2A of the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme. Having completed Stage 1, Stage 2A is intended to pick up the remainder of the sewage which is generated on Hong Kong Island and build a system of deep tunnels similar to that which has been built for Stage 1. And then transfer the sewage effluent across to Stonecutters Island, where it will receive primary treatment, chemically enhanced primary treatment, the same level of treatment as is applied at the moment, before being discharged out into the Western Anchorage area. But one significant component of this plan is that we hope to advance the disinfection facilities for Stage 2A and complete advanced disinfection facilities by 2009. And the reason we want to do that relates to the slide that I showed earlier. That is, we want to deal with that bacterial pollution on the western side of the harbour and do something about it, because it is actually affecting the beaches in the Tsuen Wan area. So we want to bring forward the disinfection facilities to 2009. So what we hope to see with Stage 2A eventually is that, as I mentioned, we'll pick up the remainder of the sewage, which is currently untreated, 450,000 tons a day. We provide disinfection. We remove even more sludge. We prevent more sludge from entering the harbour, somewhere between 200 to 500 tons each day, which depends upon the particular quantity of sewage that's being treated at any one time. And in terms of the actual further water quality improvements, we anticipate a further 90% reduction in the bacterial levels when we provide the disinfection, and an increase in dissolved oxygen by a further 5% ammonia. We expect to reduce a further 10%. We'll reduce the nutrient levels, and we'll generally produce much healthier ecological conditions for the harbour area than exist at present. Okay, that's what we hope to see for Stage 2A, which is programmed now to be completed in 2014. But in the longer term, we expect to have to move on to Stage 2B. Stage 2B is intended to raise the sewage treatment level to biological treatment. As I mentioned, the works at Stonecutters Island at the moment provides chemically enhanced primary treatment. We've managed to identify a site adjacent to Stonecutters Island site where it would be possible to provide a biological treatment works. And the proposal is that when it is needed, that site could be co-developed so that a sewage treatment works could be built, as it were, underground, and then we could provide a platform on top of it so that the site could still be used for other activities in the same location. Now, we haven't actually committed to a program for Stage 2B yet. We do recognize that it will be needed eventually when the sewage flows build up as population grows, but it's not needed immediately. What we intend to do is review the position in 2010-2011, when we'll look at the rates of population growth at that time and the rates of increase in the sewage quantities at that time and the water quality trends at that time, and then make a decision as to when we should move forward on this particular program. One of the reasons for staging things in this way is that the biological treatment works itself will be very expensive. It'll be about $11 billion to build, and it'll cost about $700 million a year to operate. So it's important to be prudent in moving forward with that particular aspect of the program. Now, while we're, I mentioned just now costs. I mentioned the costs of Stage 2B. Of course, all the sewage programs have a cost. HATS Stage 1 cost about $8 billion. HATS Stage 2A will cost another $8 billion and another $400 million a year in operating costs. The government has decided that it will only proceed with HATS if the community accepts that the polluter pays principle should be applied more comprehensively to the provision of sewage services. At the moment, we all pay a charge for the treatment of our sewage. The charge is really very small. On the average domestic account, under the sewage charge amounts to about $11 Hong Kong each month. But that charge means that we only recover around 50% of the costs of operating our sewage treatment systems. And so what we've proposed to do is to increase the recovery rate for dealing with, for treating sewage through the sewage services charging schemes. And we've worked out a plan which projects forward for the next 10 years or so. And it encompasses not just the HATS, but all the other sewage treatment schemes around the harbour and throughout the whole territory. And we've worked out the likely increases in the annual operating costs moving forward. And we've worked out how much money, how much how much expenditure would be involved if we stick with the status quo. And that is basically shown in this slide here, which shows that if we do nothing about the current arrangements for recovering costs of sewage services, then over the next 10 years or so, the subsidy from the taxpayer, if you like, will increase dramatically, to the extent that the government will only be recovering about 30% of the cost of providing sewage services. So this particular slide here now shows the likely progression of the cost of the increases in the charges for sewage services over the next 10 years. At the moment, the charge is about $1.20 per cubic meter of sewage. That will have to increase somewhere up around $3 per cubic meter of sewage treated over the next 10 years in order to keep pace with the rising expenditure on sewage systems. The cost recovery rate is shown in the lower chart, of the lower graph of this chart, and it varies because as we go through the years, new sewage systems are brought into operation, and so new costs are incurred. And if you look at the position, for example, in 1913-14, there's a drop in that recovery rate. That is there because that is the year when we project that we would commission HATS Stage 2A. So obviously the operating expenditure goes up at that time and the recovery rate drops. but we would intend to claw that back over the next couple of years. So what we're aiming for is, at this time, an 80% recovery rate for all our sewage services expenditure through the sewage charge over the next 10 years. And even after we've done that, we will find, based on our comparisons, that Hong Kong still gets very good value for its sewage treatment services. This graph simply provides a comparison based on some research done a couple of years ago on the charges in different cities. And I think it's very clear from that that Hong Kong is getting remarkably good value for money in terms of its sewage treatment, or will be getting remarkably good value for money even after we have built the next stage of HATS and even after we have raised the sewage charges. Now, this then is the program for proceeding with the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme. In this month, in fact, tomorrow, it's to be gazetted the proposed new program of sewage charges for the next 10 years. And the gazette notice will set out a specific rate for the sewage charge in each of the next 10 years. And once that is passed by LegCo, then that rate will, those rates will be fixed for 10 years based on the estimates that I've just outlined. Following after that, and assuming the legislature passed those charges, then we would proceed with the rest of the program. We have some EIA work which is ongoing at the moment for the advanced disinfection facilities. We want to complete that first so that we can bring forward the disinfection facilities early. We will be applying for some design funds in the middle of this year for construction. The design, the construction. And then in December this year, we hope to apply for the funding for the advanced disinfection facilities. Then there will be a bit of a gap. We apply for more funding in 2009. We commission the advanced disinfection facilities in 2009. And we eventually hope to commission HATS Stage 2A in full in 2014. And as I mentioned earlier, there will be a review of the timing of Stage 2B in 2010-11. So I think I'll just move on to a different subject now, now that I've set out the program which will bring about the major improvements in water quality in Victoria Harbour. The other element of the work is basically a bit more mundane. It is the bread and butter sewerage program that we pursue to make sure that the whole territory has a proper sewerage network. We've been doing this for a number of years, and we've divided the territory up into a series of catchments that we call sewerage master planning areas. And on a rolling basis, we review the sewerage networks in those areas every few years in order to make sure that they are maintained and upgraded as necessary and expanded where necessary to cater for new developments. In fact, we've just we're just in the process of doing another round of reviews of the original sewerage master plans, and these are shown in this slide. And basically, it shows that we've consolidated some areas together for the purposes of doing those reviews. Those sewerage master plans and the work that flows from them, as I said, are aimed at providing local sewerage and upgrading local sewerage. And in particular, they target the need to rectify any expedient connections that we might find in the process whereby sewage is being wrongly discharged into storm drains. And this slide here is intended to show the effects of that rolling program in two locations which are close to shore. One is in Kwun Tong and the other one at the Sam Kha Tun typhoon shelter. You can see quite clearly from this that there's been quite significant in improvement, certainly in the Kwun Tong typhoon shelter over the last 10 to 15 years or so as a result of the sewerage programs put in place. The same applied to Sam Kha Tun, but to a lesser extent. This slide basically shows the same thing, but for dissolved oxygen rather than bacteria. Again, it's the result of extended effort in providing local sewerage and in also in enforcing the law and making sure that pollution discharges are reduced. Just to give some sense of the detail as to how we go about this, actually dealing with these expedient connections and illegal discharges into sewers is quite a difficult, time-consuming, and labor-intensive process. In this slide, we illustrate in the top slide that we use CCTV cameras, television, to actually go into the sewers and search for illegal connections. But of course, they're all buried, they're all underground, so they're often not visible from the surface. And it's a painstaking job to try and identify each one and then find it on the surface again and track it back to wherever it's come from to make sure that it's properly rectified. We also have to go through the process sometimes of actually lifting up manhole covers, as illustrated in the bottom left-hand picture. And we may also, as illustrated in the right-hand picture, have to conduct dye tracing works to trace the illegal source, trace back to the illegal source to make sure that the pollution is properly rectified. As I said, this is all quite difficult and time-consuming work, and it, although the situation has improved over years, the fact is that there will always be circumstances like this, and we need to keep on top of it to make sure that we maintain the improvements that we've achieved. And the other aspect of trying to deal with local pollution at the coastline level, coastline situation, is that we install, or the Drainage Services Department installs, what are called dry weather flow interceptors into some of the storm drains. The storm drains, of course, are designed to carry away storm water and prevent flooding. But inevitably, they also have residual amounts of pollution flowing in them from illegal discharges and other sources. So what we try to do is put in this interceptor, which intercepts the dry weather flow, the polluted flow, and then diverts it into a sewer where it can be taken away for proper treatment. And the thing is designed in a way that it's intended not to impede the function of the drain as a storm drain during periods of heavy rainfall. Those dry weather flow interceptors are distributed at various key locations around the harbour area, as indicated in this slide. They are, I would say, not totally successful, but moderately successful in helping to remove the residual pollution that will always be in the storm drains. I think that more or less concludes my presentation, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for a very comprehensive overview of the efforts being made to protect the quality of the water in our harbor. All these efforts and measure to handle our sewage well. Do we have any questions? Okay, Andrew, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Broom. I think it's a very comprehensive presentation telling us the plans that you have in place. And I'm trying to connect it back now with my questions back to the sort of the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee's interest, which I guess are very manifold, but they do hinge on what the future water quality will be. Of course, the overall quality of the waterfront is dependent both on the quality of the water, both from a visual side, from an odour side, and from also from an opportunity side. From a visual side, of course, is the floating refuse issue, which you haven't addressed today. That's an issue dealt with by Marine Department, I understand. The second issue, which is the odour, which is one which is attributed to existing areas such as the typhoon shelters and the Kaitak Nulla, with heavily contaminated sediments and anoxic muds, and then the odours coming off from those, which can cause problems in the surrounding neighbourhoods, which is the sort of the waterfront environs, which is the area we're trying to enhance, and that can detract from an enhanced waterfront, even if you have a beautified waterfront, etc. And then the third area would be the direct impact of the you know, the Stonecutters Island treatment plant. I've driven by on a number of occasions and smelt the lovely blooms of odour coming off from the plant, and I guess that again is influencing, has a predominating influence over the waterfront environment in that neighbourhood. There's also the facilities and the land take of associated treatment facilities around the waterfront, and from our interest we're interested in sterilisation of land for uses that would not be desirable on the waterfront. I guess it's compatibility of waterfront land which could be used for desirable public uses, for uses which would be related to you know, public or institutional uses such as sewage treatment facilities or pumping stations, etc., and minimising the footprint of those. So two key questions associated with those. The first one would, is it likely with the Phase 2A plans that the marine water quality would facilitate marine water uses and leisure in the harbour? And I expressly cite things like dinghy sailing or maybe swimming or perhaps you know, a harbour beach. The second area would be then, is it possible again with this level of treatment as proposed to address the sediment, the odour issues, and you know, particularly for those areas like the Kaitak Nulla, Kaitak Approach Channel, whichever way you choose to refer to it, and areas such as the major typhoon shelters, which at the moment also have an odour problem associated with them. And if so, what would be the sort of time frame where you think these plans would address that, and how then could we tie these? Would we be best advised in tying this into our harbourfront enhancement recommendations? And then one technical question related to the overall 2A plans would be, what would be the downsides of the advanced disinfection facilities, and is that something which the community should be so concerned with, as opposed to looking earlier at the biological treatment methodologies? I think that's probably enough.
Chairman, if I can respond. With regard to the use of the harbour after the commissioning of Stage 2A, the Stage 2A scheme will intercept all the untreated flows at the moment or discharged from the north and western shore of Hong Kong Island. So as I indicated, we would anticipate the water quality would improve dramatically. In particular, though, the key thing is providing disinfection, which would bring the bacterial levels down. Our projections indicate that once we've collected up the remaining untreated sewage and provided the disinfection, that the water quality should be good enough to support the odd annual event, say something like the much missed cross-harbour swim. I think that ought to be possible. But of course, I think we ought to bear in mind all the time that we're talking about a working harbour. The concept of people jumping in you know, every day and going for a swim perhaps is, may not be that workable. But as I said, the water quality should be good enough for to support special events, and that applies to swimming and it applies to other events such as boating or dragon boat racing. If I could move on to the next issue, which was the sediment and odour issues. Well, the key to that is to try to deal with these residual pollution in these stormwater drains. I think the situation varies from location to location. For example, I have myself been up to Kwun Tong Typhoon Shelter and the Kaitak Nulla not very long ago. I found the typhoon shelter itself did not smell, but further upstream in the Nulla area, there was a section where it smelled because of the discharge of untreated sewage, which needed to be rectified. The sewage system there was a discharge which was bypassing the sewage system. If you go further up the Kaitak Nulla, it's actually very clean. So it varies from location to location. I don't think there's an easy answer. I think that it's a case of having to plug away at these plans, our rolling plans to improve the local sewerage infrastructure and deal with these sorts of expedient connections. But in terms of time frame, if we were talking about the Kai Tak area, for example, we have plans to rectify the major sewerage problems in those areas by about 2012, because it needs to tie in with the development of the planned development of the cruise terminal. Other ways of dealing with the odor issues we found quite successful in Yamate Typhoon Shelter, where people have also been complaining about the odor, is that from time to time we will take some special steps to dredge out the sediment which is closest to the shoreline to try to keep it under control. But I don't think, as I tried to point, I tried to get across earlier, that we have to keep on top of this all the time. I don't think there's going to be one point where I could say at this time it will stop. I think it's going to be an ongoing process. The last question raised was the issue of the technical issue about the disinfection. There is an EIA which is ongoing to assess the impact of the disinfection technique. The disinfection technique which is proposed is chlorination followed by dechlorination. A lot of people have expressed some worries that there will be some major impacts as a result of chlorination, because they think that there will be a lot of chlorinated byproducts. Or because there will be a lot of residual chlorine which will kill things in the harbour. The dechlorination step which is added is quite a simple step in engineering chemistry terms, and it would remove the residual chlorine in the discharge. All the work that's been done so far in the EIA, and it's not concluded yet, indicate that the quantities of chlorinated byproducts would be extremely small. And in any event, they're not persistent chlorinated byproducts. So at this stage, it appears that the impact would be acceptable, but I don't want to preempt the outcome of the EIA, which would be made available for public comment under the EIAO in due course.
Thanks, Dr. Brahms. WK, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Well, just to follow up on what the Bloom mentioned about the stages 2A and so on, I think I'll just note that I understand some green groups, for instance, Dr. Kwok's group, of which I'm also a member, have some reservation about stage 2A and would prefer an immediate stage 2B to be implemented. But since we are not the ACE, we are the Harbour Plan Enhancement Committee, I'm not going to raise this issue, right? but also there's an aside, since you mentioned cross-harbour swimming, my guess is that the main problem isn't the water quality, but the fact that Victoria Harbour's sea is so rough that one risks being flushed out to Lama Island. Is that but my question is really to do with the second part of Dr. Broom's presentation on the sewage and on the more local side of the water quality, not on the macro, the overall side, which is what HATS tries to deal with. I think we'd be more concerned with the land-water interface part of the harbour. For instance, the typhoon shelter that Dr. Broom mentioned. I think for HATS that there is quite a clear timetable, but I haven't got the same comfort from EPD's presentation with regard to the quality of the water quality of the area immediately interfacing with the public, the typhoon shelters and so on. I've heard the date 2012 mentioned for Kai Tak, and of course there's other plans for Kai Tak. But the areas that a lot of people are immediately concerned about would be like the Causeway Bay typhoon shelter, where there is a very visible and very direct problem that we see every day. I just wonder how far the sewage plans, the tracking and the DWFI, the things that you're working on, can resolve those problems. And of course, looking at the harbour as a whole, a lot of the harbour front areas, unfortunately, are going to be construction sites over the years. we see the convention center right now, right? And so there's going to be some immediate water quality problems in these areas. And they happen to be the area that, from a harbor entrance point of view, where people get really closest. So who is the regulator, right, in this instance for this kind of water quality? Is it Marine Department or EPD? And how can we get more comfort in the sense that the water quality in this harbor edge areas will really improve, as opposed to the overall problem which HATS is dealing with?
Just to respond on the second point first, the construction around the harbour areas. I am not completely familiar with all the different construction activities that might be going along on around the harbour front, but as a general principle, major works would be subject to EIA, I think. Although there are certain qualifications depending on the nature of the work. But if it's subject to EIA, then there would be stipulations as to how the work proceeds in order to safeguard the water quality. And there would be conditions in the EIA permit as to how the work proceeds. And those conditions would be enforced by the EPD. So if any members or any member of the public had concern that a particular project was causing unacceptable water quality impacts, then I think the right thing to do would be to make the inquiry to EPD to find out why it is having an impact and what can be done about it. With regard to the earlier question, which focused on the typhoon shelters and the land-water interface, I mentioned earlier that we had a whole series of rolling programs. I also said that I didn't think that there would be a specific endpoint that one could draw a line under and say this problem is completely solved. But perhaps I can hand over to my colleague, Mr. Wong, who can just tell members what are the current ongoing programs and their anticipated work dates, so that you have some idea of what it covers and the time frame.
Testing. Okay. You talk about the typhoon shelter in the Causeway Bay, right? So, in fact, we are now conducting some sewerage improvement work around the Wan Chai and the North Pond area. And during that part of the work, we've also conducted some EC survey, expedient connection survey, in order to identify those misconnections that lead to the discharge of some polluted flow into the traffic shelter. So for the studies, probably we'll rectify all those type of things. And along the Kowloon side area, we also have some a number of packages that we'll be putting up in this year. Along the central and eastern Kowloon sewerage improvement works, and as well as for the cruise terminal development near the Kowloon Bay area, we are also have some plan to do a sewerage interception scheme along the Kowloon Bay area in order to rectify the Malcolm just mentioned about the sewerage overflow problem around there. And along the western side of the Victoria Harbour, we also have a KPI item for contacting those village sewerage near the Kowaging and Chunun area that probably cause some of the pollution to the Chunun Beach there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Professor Lam, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish to begin by saying that I concur with WK that Hong Kong, being a world city, deserves a harbour with good water quality. It should be pleasing to the eye. It should fit various types of recreational activities, and also it should be designed in such a way that would facilitate man-water interaction. I wish to make one comment and also have one question. The comment that I wish to make is from the presentation I can see, the only place I can see regarding stage 2B is the year which I think is 2012. Now, looking back at the whole program, we have had stage 1 and then we are going to have ADF, advanced disinfection facilities, and then 2A and 2B. If we are determined to improve the water quality, I think we should do more than just cutting all these work up into small pieces. Do one piece and then wait and see. So I wish really the administration would put in the resources as well as a commitment to such a program. My question is related to other aspects such as the floating refuse, which can still be seen commonly. I wish to ask Dr. Broom whether the floating refuse, whether that is on the increase or decrease. It appears to me that they are still there, despite without recognition there would be less opportunity to blame the debris from the construction sites being washed into the harbour. So if it is still on the increase or is still at such a high level, then the question is, where's the source? Whether there is any program or actions to get rid of those floating refuse. Thank you.
Dr. Brown, please.
No, I'm not aware that the floating refuse is on the increase. What I am aware of is that within the past couple of years, the Marine Department has implemented new procedures or new contracts for dealing with floating refuse in the harbour. And as a result, the amount of refuse that is being collected seems to have gone up because they're working more efficiently. So I would hope that if they're collecting more refuse, then the amount left in the harbour has gone down. But I'm afraid I don't have any statistics to substantiate that point.
Thank you. Mr. Ma, please.
Chairman, WK in his question mentioned about a wave condition in the inner part of the harbour. I just want to point out that that's our practice and standard. And when we do new works in the inner harbour, we would put in wave absorption seawall, which helps to reduce wave action.
May, please.
I just have two curious questions. Number one, is there any need for concern about leakages from these diesel-operated boats or, you know, those seagoing, vessels that are entering our harbour at all? That will, you know, is it very minimal that we don't have to be concerned about this? And then number two, what would you say to an international visitor coming on a big cruise ship if I want to take a dip in the harbour? What advice would you tell them? Number three, early on we debated about filling in the Kai Tak Nala. To fill or not to fill, has EPD debated this issue, come up with scenario studies and offer some advice to our fellow government departments?
Thank you, mate. Dr. Broom, please.
Leakages from diesel-operated boats. The Marine Department is the authority for controlling pollution from vessels in the harbour. As far as I am aware, there is no major problem of significant continuous pollution from boats. There are, of course, from time to time, oil spills from vessels, which the Marine Department responds to and tackles with its oil pollution control unit. I don't think that it's a significant issue in respect of harbour water quality. With regard to the people jumping off the cruise ships into the harbour, as we've still got a significant amount of sewage, 25% of the sewage is being discharged untreated into the harbour area, and the discharge from the stage one outfall off Stonecutters Island is also undisinfected, I think I would unequivocally say that it is not a good idea to go swimming in the harbour area because it is still quite polluted at this time. With regard to filling in the, I think it was the Kai Tak Nullah area, the Kai Tak Approach Channel, my understanding is that Civil Engineering Development Department are looking into the options for redeveloping the Kai Tak Southeast Kowloon area. And that process is still ongoing, and no decision has been made as to the final form of the whole development.
Thank you.
Environmental science. I know EPD has many professionals, and have they considered different options?
The way the system works, I believe, is that when a development proposal or a major scheme is proposed, it's subject to an environmental assessment. The project proponents will produce their plans and provide their reports on what the assessment of the impacts are, and they'll provide them to EBD, who will comment. But eventually, at the end of the day, the project proponent has to put the application forward for an EIA permit. So far, we don't have any application for any permit under the for developments in Southeast Kowloon. So I don't think I'm able to comment.
Chairman.
Please.
Chairman, can I?
You want to supplement what Dr. Brown saying, or Jeff saying?
I just like to.
No, there's a gentleman at the back. You want to say something?
Okay.
Sorry.
From Civil Engineering Development Department, we are the proponent for the for the schedule fee EIA for Kai Tak, which means we are also looking at the environmental problem at the Kai Tak Approach Channel. I just want to supplement that at the moment we have engaged consultants to look into the environmental problem of the Kai Tak Approach Channel as part of the EIA process. And we are working closely with EPD to look into the various aspects of how to tackle the problem. The starting point, as Mr. Chen has mentioned, is that there are starting points of no reclamation scenario, and we are looking into that. At the moment.
Thank you. Sorry, we can't
hear. I was just going to mention the ongoing studies that is currently undertaken by CEDD precisely to study the feasibility of addressing the environmental issues in the Kai Tak Approach Channel to enable the development to proceed and comply with all the requirements as laid down under the EIAO. So the work is going on, and the department has been conducting tests for the past year to capture the results for the summer months as well as the winter months, and the water quality is being analyzed, and so it is perhaps at this stage not possible to come to any conclusion just yet as to whether that approach channel needs to be reclaimed to address the environmental issues. So I just thought that this is not a question which is within the purview of Malcolm, so I just want to fill in the gaps for him.
Thanks, Rita. May, please.
So if we can really be very truthfully look beyond engineering, look beyond, you know, land, you know, reclamation, I would urge, you know, we can be a little bit more forthright, like with the advancement of wastewater treatment technologies coming all these decades now. And I hope our Hong Kong government will really truly consider some innovative kind of technology demonstration or schemes and options instead of just sitting something or just fill it up. I think we should be able, with our resources now, our financial resources, I really urge our Hong Kong government to do some, you know, innovative schemes and consider options. world-class city, world-class demonstration.
You want to respond to that?
We are looking at a number of measures, and this involves experts in this field as well. We're still looking at, into these questions. We're trying to resolve this problem at the moment.
Thank you. Any further comment, Patrick? Question? Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think a lot of friends here already said it very well, and also covered all the issues very well. But I just want to, again, stress one point, that why I'm so concerned about this is actually to assist, to help the government if they have this it's a very very good plan, you know, to push ahead of this HES2A. But the reaction from the community was, you know, when your colleague, Dr. Bloom, went to the district council and presented the scheme and mentioned, you know, how the water quality of the harbour has been improved over the past years, the reaction was people did not feel it. Okay, because the in the daily life, what they see and what they smell, you know, and they still getting, the district council is still getting complaints from the local residents. So it will be very difficult for the government, especially you're thinking to charge them, you know, later on. And you mentioned it's a very expensive scheme. So I think politically, I think it's very difficult. So that's why, you know, for this committee, you know, as we are talking about harbor fund enhancement, we should put some kind of more high priority, you know, some kind of a campaign. Just like, you know, we are dealing every day about this air pollution, you know, people talking about air pollution every day, but how about this water, you know, the water edge, you know, this involved the community. Dr. Bloom said it very well, you know, it's, EPD cannot resolve it, you know, overnight, you know, just by yourself. It's really involved a lot of other the community, other departments, you know, DSD, Marine Department. So why don't we work together, okay, and send a very clear message to the community. You know, we need to work together because it involves a lot of like this illegal sewage, you know, into the stormwater drain. You know, that's really, you know, something we need to resolve, not just by one single department. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Kato Osman.
Well, I'd just like to say, Chairman, I'd like to thank Mr. Lau for those comments. I do appreciate the sentiment. I know that when we talk in terms of all these numbers, things getting better, that people don't necessarily feel that if they're the people who are most affected at the water's edge. It is something that we constantly try to do, is to raise levels of environmental awareness and try to persuade everybody to get involved. I would say that we have had some success in the commercial sector in particular with our partnership programs with some local industries in helping them to be more environmentally responsible and produce less pollution as a result. But it's an ongoing process, as I said earlier, and one that we'll try to keep plugging away at. There is one point I'd like to make about the expense, the relative expenses. Yes, the program is expensive, but the government has undertaken to pay the capital costs. So when I talk about $8 billion for Stage 2A, then the government is paying the $8 billion for Stage 2A. What the community is asked to pay for is the annual operating costs. And then, to repeat what I said earlier, when you look at the actual bills for sewage charges, the average domestic bill at the moment is $11 a month. And over 10 years, according to our projections, it would rise to $27 a month. So I would hope that most of the community, in fact, the feedback we have, I think, from the majority of the community is that they don't see that as being too onerous a burden.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. I'm not sure that we have any comment. I do have one, out of curiosity. The focus on the work seems to be on sewage treatment. My question is, to what extent does the quality of the water marine water in Victoria Harbour depend on whatever pollution that might come down from the Pearl River Delta or the Pearl River freshwater system. I guess specifically I'm asking whether some of this pollutant coming down from the freshwater system would end up in a harbor, but could be diluted so much that it's not a factor?
Chairman, thank you for the question. If you imagine the layout of the territory of Hong Kong, we've got this big island on the western side, Lantau Island. If effectively the flow from the Pearl River is largely pushed away from Hong Kong by that. Flow does intrude through the Ma Wan Channel area, and some also comes around the south of the island and kind of intrudes from the southern area, with the result that on the western side of the harbour approaches, you see higher levels of nutrients which are due largely to that Pearl River influence. But all the indications are that based on the computer modelling that we do, all the indications are that Hong Kong's harbour pollution problem is caused by Hong Kong. It's not caused by anybody else. And in fact, that is borne out by some of the statistics which I showed you, that when we commissioned stage one of the harbour air treatment scheme, there was a dramatic improvement in water quality in those areas that the sewage was removed from. It's very much a Hong Kong problem that we have to deal with.
Thanks. That makes it very clear. Thank you. Any other comment, question, suggestion? If not, thanks a lot, Dr. Broms and your team. Thank you.